Welcome to episode 7 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Roger Kirby, and as always, I'm joined by Stephen Woodkin.
Good evening, Roger. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Very, very well. Day off does me wonders. Yourself?
Not too bad. Still got a little bit of a blocked nose, but you know, soldiering on.
You need to go see a doctor about that.
I know. I keep getting told this, but I don't deal with them. We just let it get worse. We run out.
Soldier on, have a chest infection, and suddenly die.
It's a bit like my fantasy team. Soldiering on, steadily dying.
Topical conversation.
Very topical indeed. You enjoying your few days in between jobs?
Yes, a few days off, which has been excellent. So last day tomorrow off, and then start the new one Thursday. So it's exciting times.
Gave you a good chance to watch Monday Night Football in its entirety.
Oh, that was beautiful this morning. Got up leisurely, made a bit of breakfast, coffee on, watching the Chiefs absolutely destroy the Patriots.
I know. Not the result I was expecting to see when I found out about it today.
I mean, I had the Chiefs in Pick'em, so I fancied the Chiefs, but it wasn't. I had it as a bit of a low scoring, bit of a battle, and the Patriots were just poor every phase of the game, and you know the Chiefs just seemed to move the ball at will, and Smith looked great. He really is underrated. You know, he scrambles, he makes sensible decisions, and he didn't turn the ball over. It was a really, really good display, and Houston and Tom Brady were exceptional, rushing the passer all day, and Brady just looked like a little boy lost. I sent you a text earlier and said he was one of them games where the more he tried, and the more effort he put in, the harder it seemed to get for it. Just one of them days.
I guess that's it as well. There was a few quarterbacks this week who got behind and then really tried, when they did try and force it, it just got worse and worse for the QBs with picks. Like, you go all the way back to Thursday night with Cousins, that happening for the Redskins, they fell behind, and the more you tried to sort it out and throw the ball more, it just got worse. So.
Yeah, I mean, I was listening to the Coaches Show podcast today, and they were, I know Billick was absolutely lauding the Chargers for sticking to the run.
Yes.
Despite the fact that they haven't got a running game. And I think that's the key is, I know you need to potentially throw the ball and move it more, but I think when you lose, in essence, what your team is, and an ability to kind of control the game and the clock, normally it comes off the rails, and when it comes off the rails, it comes off pretty spectacular.
It's something we've talked about a lot as well, just that balance between run and throw, and if all you're doing, if you're behind and all you do is you try and throw it, where's the deception when you've not got a guy in the backfield? The defence knows what's coming and vice versa. If you've not got men spread out and it's just so obvious that you're running it, and just having the options available every play of, is this confusing the defence? Is it going to be run? Is it going to be pass? That's...
Just a heads up, I lost you for a second there, so are we still recording?
Are still recording, we're still going ahead. I saw you flash off the screen and come back on. But
voice of me just going, hello!
That didn't come through this end.
So. randomly just saying if you were still there.
One day we'll get ourselves a full studio, all singing, all dancing, and be able to do this in the same room. But
we can call it Studio 66, despite the fact that it's Studio 7.
Brilliant. I'll be honest, at the moment I'd love to call it maybe something like Studio 99, based off JJ. Just epic performances he's throwing each week.
We need to, I think, make an effort to watch the Texans game over the next few weeks, just to see the impact he's having on every single play, as opposed to just the condensed kind of stuff that we've been seeing.
I know, scoring touchdowns, pick sixes, and just constant pressure. And it was something we discussed almost on text just briefly, is just about how he's obviously number one defensive player, but surely he's the best player in the NFL.
He's definitely putting in himself in that category. I mean, I have a hard pass task kind of looking past Rodgers. I have a massive man crush on that guy. He's just
the way I like to look at it though, is if you just put everybody else in your position, how far is Rodgers ahead of the next guys like Breeze, Peyton, you put JJ, how far ahead is he?
Yeah, he's light years ahead
of the other guys in his position. So if you're that dominant, and the fact that people are game planning against the defensive end.
Yeah, they talked about that on one of the podcasts. They're game planning for him all week, and yet he's still, you know, hitting a quarterback, was it 6 to 9 times or something stupid?
I know, it's really not helped the Bills and EJ and the decision that's now been made there in Buffalo.
He's done. And I think the coaching staff can collect their pink slips as well, because I think they're done after that decision. You don't draft a QB. And I know it's a win now, you know, league, but I think it's just a really, really poor decision. You have to question the efficacy of bringing in Orton in the first place, because it sent all the wrong messages out to Manuel. So, yeah, don't agree with it, but I think they've got to live with it now, and I think they'll lose the jobs for it. And
yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what new owner does going forward. Obviously not going to make any changes really this year, I'm sure.
What do you think about that now? They not only did they pick Manuel, and I know we're kind of going on a little bit here, you know, in this kind of recap section, it'll be like 2 hours long, but they gave up next year's first round pick to get Watkins.
Yeah.
So they're going into next year's draft potentially with no QB, no first round pick.
And sadly, the way it's going, that first round pick could be quite high.
Browns are looking at having, you know, potentially 2 picks in the top 16.
Yeah, that's for sure. Then you almost don't want to be that they do give out some pink slips, or P45s as we call them over this side.
Yes.
You don't. If you're going in there, you've got a tough start already when you've not got a first rounder to go with.
Exactly. Well, I mean, the good thing is that their defense is something to build on, and Jim Schwartz has certainly done a really good job in terms of taking it on from when Mike Pettine did last year.
Yeah.
But you can't. I mean, I keep harking on and moaning and griping and whinging whenever I have conversations with you or anybody that I speak about in the NFL. But there's only so many times you can hide your QB. And it'll eventually catch up with you. You either let him play and let him off the, you know, and okay, you build and game plan to his strengths, but you can't just play the way that they've been doing with Manuel and expect it to be a long-term solution.
Yeah, not looking good there. Well, potentially is looking good now with Orton coming in, but not looking good up there in Buffalo. And
well, in the last couple of an hour or so, Tony Sperano has been named the interim head coach of the Raiders.
Yes, indeed. So Alan didn't have a successful trip over here to Wembley. Turned out a huge defeat against the Dolphins, despite my faith in them in the pick.
Never ever pick the Oakland Raiders.
Well, you just thought the Dolphins. I didn't think it would necessarily affect them so much, all the chat about Tannehill last week and so-called controversy, but I just thought the Raiders as well coming early last week, they get to settle in the time zone, and they looked all right, and they played well last week against the Patriots, not flashy, but getting a job done in a way, but I just took a punt on them, a bit like last week as well, though, the Giants pick for me paid off against the Redskins.
But yeah.
You win some, you lose some, I suppose.
Indeed. I mean, just before we wrap this up, I mean, I sent out a tweet earlier today, and it's like, you know, they're talking about, you know, new head coaches and potential replacements for Allen. And it's like, and I know that they're a select group. It's, you know, there is only 32 head coaching jobs available, so this statement kind of, you know, backfires, shoots itself in the foot to a greater or lesser extent. But who's going to want to go there?
I know. You're going to need somebody who's almost somebody with such a great character about them that they want to build an identity, because that's the thing I keep thinking about the Raiders. I think of them and I think, who are they? What do they do? Like, the old school Raiders used to be mean defenses back in the day, but
yeah, they do anything to win.
Really can't picture what they are. You feel like, are they really a good defensive team? No.
Why is John Gruden when they want to step out of the coaching booth, the broadcasting booth, to go and coach the Raiders again with that mess?
I guess sometimes money talks. I don't know how much you can pay a head coach to come and take over that franchise.
But they're not going to, you know, you think about it, you know, if there's a young, you know, take for example, like an Adam Gaze, for example, or he was the first kind of, you know, up and coming kind of, coordinator that kind of sprung to mind. But why is he going to want to jump ship from what is a good gig where his reputation's only growing and increasing if it's not the right job?
I know, there's obviously all this potential rumour that maybe with the situation in just across from Oakland there in San Francisco, what's happening.
He has
there,
the personality to do it.
Yeah, that type
He really doesn't care who he pisses off.
But I can't see that happening for some reason. You never know, I guess, but
funny things have happened.
Yes, indeed. Like going to bed confident on a Monday night thinking you picked up your first win, only to wake up and find out the score that the Chiefs have run amok. Brady's thrown a shocker of a game and you lose in your fantasy matchup of the week.
I sent you a text after Steve Smith had done what he'd done.
Yeah.
And I was like, first win. Oh, that's all sorted, all done and dusted. Then you had Matt Asiata going off.
Kaepernick pulled out a decent score for a change with 20 points there.
Yet somehow you've managed to conspire to lose it by, you know, just over a point.
Yeah, 1.1 to David and the D-Train is chew-chewing along at 4-0. The Chiefs, that's the type of performance their defence was putting in week in, week out last season.
Yeah, early does.
They've not been quite like that so far this year, but again, I had a toss-up and I just thought the news that Charles was back, I thought Davis isn't going to get that many touches and carries. I know he's still an electric type of player and when he gets the ball, he's going to make the most of it. But again, that decision not to put him in, sit him on my bench, has cost me over playing Doreen.
Because in one of the other leagues that we play and I didn't play Charles on the basis that it was the Monday night game. So if I didn't play him, I'd not handcuffed him to Davis. I'd backed myself into a corner because I wasn't convinced how fully fit he was. And he you know, considering it was a high ankle sprain, he looked perfectly fine.
He didn't look like anybody who had a high ankle sprain.
No, you know, normally these things, you know, think about CJ Spiller last year when he had that high ankle sprain. He looked half of the man, the explosive, you know, guy that he's capable of being. But yeah. Yeah, even I felt a little bit sorry for you this week, I have to say. There's pretty much nothing more you could have done.
Yeah, so Gobias Industries, just to recap, 0-4 after a 1.1 loss to David.
Yeah. And congratulations to David. He is moving on.
He is. He obviously had a few big names on a bye week this week with Manning, and he went with Fitzmagic, who got 12 points. He had through two interceptions, but ultimately 12 points was enough for QB to see him home. And I'm sitting at the bottom of the league, 0-4. It's not much consolation in this league, but I did go 5-1 for the week across our six leagues that we're in, and I've got two other teams which are unbeaten so far, 4-0. So this sadly is the worst team I've got on the scoreboard.
Trying to suggest that you do know what you're doing.
Somewhere else I do, maybe.
in another life.
In another life. I will say my team's getting better week on week. I'm finally getting less points on the bench, more points in my team. So I'm still confident it can head the right way, turn around, and ultimately, if I've gone 0-4, there's no reason not to say I can't go 4-0 on my next four.
This is very true.
Finish 10-4 overall in the regular season.
It's so unpredictable. You look at, take for example, I'm 2-2, and
yeah,
I still can't believe how I've managed to pull that one out.
I mean, last 2 weeks, decent scores, just touching the 100 mark, and you've come up against guys who've only scored 50 or so, or 61 this week with Wyatt.
I mean, after Larry Donnell went and put 23 points on the board as a tight end, and I'm missing, I've drafted in Kobe Fleener because I've got Julius Thomas sat on my bench. It's just like, oh, I'm done. And then I'm thinking, well, he's got Foles, he's got McCoy coming, he's got White, Jeffrey. I picked up the Pittsburgh Steelers thinking against Tampa Bay, and they only had 3 points. So, yeah, I'm made up considering some of the, things that kind of fell into place.
It's been incredibly unpredictable, and that's why, just overall, the NFL, why I seem to love it so much. Other sports you follow, they're so predictable. You follow the Premier League in this country, so predictable. Cricket that we follow over here, predictable. There's kind of, look at it, just this weekend, there were only 13 matches, but five teams you kind of thought they're just not, they either didn't turn up the way that they normally should do. Teams like Panthers, the Steelers, Saints. The Patriots, even the Eagles didn't play like the Eagles were.
No.
There's five teams who kind of, not necessarily shocks the wins for KC and the Ravens, but just the performance space aspects of some of these results
week to week
makes it so exciting overall. But then it obviously makes it a bit of a fantasy hit and miss week to week.
But I go to 2-2, and Wyatt goes to 2-2 as well. So
two losses in a row for Wyatt, two wins in a row for you. So
scratch and sniff, and Hawks repeat. I have on here.
Yeah, another bounce back win for Carl. Gets a win. Joe, after winning week one, has now lost his last three. A win for Scratch and Sniff by 16 points. And ultimately it came down to Rogers and 28 points there.
Yeah, I think that's a big help. That's why you draft him as high as he had. And Delaney Walker keeps, putting decent numbers on the board from a fantasy perspective. I like him as a player, but he wasn't someone I'd have considered drafting,
A solid tight end that can do all the duties of a tight end, which
can block, can pass protect, and can also make big plays, and got good hands, and he's sneaky quick as well.
Yeah, and still getting it done with Clipboard Jesus at the helm there.
Well, yeah, on a personal level, but as a team, they are they're struggling, and especially in that division where it's not exactly, feisty.
No, you've got the Colts who, on offense, scoring heavily, but really, they've got an easy route to get to the playoffs, the Colts.
Yeah, and especially, when they've got members of their team, with more PED problems.
Yeah. It seems to be a bit rife there in Indy, which is a shame that somehow some organizations just have that type of situation. It's not helping their defense, and again, it just adds more pressure and luck when some of your better defensive players are again taken away.
And
how many points does he have to keep putting up each week. But yeah, scratch and sniff. 2-2 as well after that win.
Yeah, it's closing up. It's closing up.
Breeze for Joe just didn't seem to fire there down in Dallas and threw an interception. 20
yeah,
points.
I've got that on my list of things to do tomorrow before I start back at work on Thursdays in case to just go back and have a look at that because something's not quite right in the New Orleans.
That is true. But to be fair to Joe, that the Breeze-Graham combination was actually the best part of his fantasy week this week. 32 points between the two of them, but running back struggles with Jennings, 5.2. D'Angelo Williams, again, kind of picked up a niggle, another injury, and 3.4 there, and just the rest of his team didn't fire. So three losses in a row for Joe.
We'll need to turn that around. Klingberg and Eskimo Brothers. Klingberg's go to 2-2, and Anthony is left at 1-3.
Yeah, tough. Again, another three losses in a row for Anthony. So we're losing by 16 points.
Yeah, I think Antonio Brown has been a major factor in terms of there, but he did make a nice couple of pickups during the week.
Yeah, and the Klingbergs, I mean, Antonio Brown as well, he's been mentioned a few other places, but he dropped another long pass that
would on the flea flea.
Yeah, that was it. All
he texted me was Larry Davis.
Love the flea flicker, but flick it back again. And just from a fantasy perspective, Antonio Brown could have had another 80 yards and another touchdown almost if he held on to it. Yeah, so, but still enough for the Klingbergs, and Big Ben up the top of his roster there, 22 points as a plug and play with his main QB Dalton on a bye week. So worked out well for the Klingbergs. And even with a big performance by Matt Stafford, Anthony didn't quite manage to pull off a victory this week.
Footballers in Danby?
Footballers in Danby. Close, low-scoring game. Danby winning by 10. He's on a two-game winning streak and it's 3-1.
He was helped out massively by Luck's massive score and Kirk Cousins' epic third quarter meltdown.
Yeah, two just oceans apart in their fantasy scores between those two QBs this week. Leaving the Bengals' defense in as well didn't really help Lenny. No points there at the defensive position, although on a matchup, he's won that with Danby's Panthers having -4.
Yes.
But,
Talking about the Panthers' defence, I mean, we watched the Ravens' Panthers game, didn't we? And they were really, really struggling.
They were. Both Forsett was just running through the middle. All the talk was going to be, they're going to almost double-team Steve Smith, and he thought he shouldn't get a look in, but he had a huge game, and that also allowed Torrey Smith to make a few big plays.
Yeah, he looked better. And
so just really, like we said earlier, teams that are not playing how you think they should be playing, not to their normal identity. The Panthers, one of them, that defence, the last 2 weeks have been costly for them.
And last but not least, the Hurricanes move on to 4-0.
Yeah, Willie's up there with David, unbeaten so far.
Yeah, which I was a bit disappointed about, I have to say.
Very close game in the end. Tony losing out by 1.5 points.
Yes. The New England Patriots certainly didn't help in that regard, although Willie did have the Broncos on the bye on his bench.
I know, it's one of those, you wish you had the foresight for Tony just to not play the Patriots and he won the matchup. But, obviously Charles coming back big for him, kept him in it. And the little glimpse in the future there in New England? Garoppolo to Gronkowski touchdown?
Yeah, there's something systemically wrong with the Patriots at the moment. I mean, we've touched on it a couple of times in our own conversations where we've questioned the wisdom of shopping Mankins when they are in a win-now mode. You know, they're not building something for the future. You know, Brady is, 37 years old now?
Yeah.
You know, no one is suggesting that they mortgage the franchise. But, you know, he's throwing to Edelman, Amendola, you know, LaFelle picked up from the Panthers. He looked okay, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, Amendola's done absolutely nothing this year. You know, I like Edelman, but he's a slot and return guy, and I love watching Gronk. I can watch Gronk all day, but Gronk's coming back from, you know, another major...
I know, it's tricky. You want to just be using him a lot more, and if he was healthy, you know they would be going there a lot more. And but just the 31 yards, but one TD, but that touchdown just shows what he is made of.
Why are they? I mean, at one point they were running, they were continually handing the ball off to Shane Vereen and running him through the tackles. That doesn't make any sense to me. You know. Vereen is great splitting him out of the backfield and you know, moving him all around and getting him on, you know, screen passes and, you know, wheel routes and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, you've got Ridley sat there, and I know Ridley's got fumbling issues, but Ridley hardly saw the ball.
And he's run well the last couple of weeks before this one, but, you know, just, again, one of these teams, when you just look back in hindsight, you think the reps and who they've got getting the touches just doesn't seem to match with what would suit them best in that type of game. So was that a bad game plan coming in, or it just seems odd?
They're in a funk and the issue that they've got is that the one thing they've got going for them is they're in a division with no clear cut, you know, team that's going to pounce down their throats. I think they are primed to potentially win the division, but take a wild card.
Yeah.
And I fancy Cincy and
the Ravens looking strong.
Yeah.
As a wild card.
Yeah, I think. But for me, it's Cincy and the Broncos to take the automatic kind of spots.
Yeah, you could see a wild card playing against the Patriots at this rate. Who's got a better record, somebody either from the west or from the north, who ends up with a better record than the Patriots.
I'd definitely fancy the Ravens to go in there and cause some damage. I'd be dubious maybe about the Chargers in the cold weather. That would be the only thing, and it tends to be where Tom Brady comes alive, but we shall see.
So that rounds up the week 4 action in the Move the Sticks leagues with the 6 results. Two teams, as we say, unbeaten still, the Hurricanes and the D Train, 4-0. I think there's only one team that hasn't got a win yet. But
I'm not going to rub it in too much there. I'm feeling for you a little bit today.
Thank you.
I really couldn't believe it because even when I was watching the game this morning and I hadn't checked my fantasy because I had in one of my leagues I had Edelman against Kelsey and there was basically a point between us. So if Kelsey kind of had a great day, I won, and you know, the rest is kind of history. I was more than happy. But as it was developing, it was like, oh, hang on, this isn't good.
Yeah.
And then he had the first pick, and it was like, okay, well, they've not returned it. And then he had the second, and it was just like, it's going to now be close. And then even when I went to it, I still couldn't quite believe that he'd managed to kind of conspire to not win it. But,
I'm sure we'll touch on some of my decisions as we move through the awards from this week.
We will.
Rattle
these top three off.
The Automatic NFL Awards, which... let me just tell you, it's no consolation picking up the Above and Beyond Award for outperforming my projections by 21 points this week. Probably mainly helped by Steve Smith and Matt Asiata having big weeks in the high 20s, so...
Yeah, no consolation.
No, not at all.
You go and lose. Those are the weeks that when you pick that award up and when you feel slightly smug about it.
Yeah, I for some reason thought that award only got given automatically to winning teams, but hey.
Evidently not.
I'll take it.
You big loser.
A trophy is a trophy. Danby, 2 weeks in a row with the Snickers Award for most satisfying player. With Andrew Luck.
Yeah, that needs to be prefaced by the fact that he played against two of the league's worst defences, but there we go.
It all counts in fantasy. 29 points
indeed
this week for Luck, just pipping Rodgers to the week total. And the final one from NFL.com is Lenny with the footballers leaving 53 points on his bench. I mean, when you've got a starting QB on your bench, you're always going to be quite close to picking up that award, but Flacco scored well on his bench. And
yeah, I think difficult because Cousins, no one expected Cousins to do that, but... yeah, whether I'd have played Steven Jackson over Reggie Wayne, I think is possibly that flex up point option. So I may have gone the other way myself, but hindsight's a wonderful thing.
It is indeed. So there are three automatic awards. Move of the week this week for a team that made a move that helped them win their matchup.
Just the winning teams that we look at here.
Yeah, we've got the Klingbergs on his bye weeks for Dalton and Bernard, plugging and playing Big Ben and McKinnon from the Vikings. So combined they hit 37 points to cover up the bye week for the Cincy Bengals. Second nomination is Danby, who earlier in the week picked up Eddie Royal off free agency, playing a nice easy matchup down there against Jaguars. So he picked up 22.5 points playing in his flex position. And the final one, David on his bye week for Peyton Manning, having to slot in a quarterback and went with Fitzmagic. So not the worst performance in the week, not the best, but 12 points and a win. A win is a win.
Exactly. I think the one that stands out for me is, Big Ben's kind of a no-brainer because he's, a decent fantasy option, although the low-end fantasy option. But I think, as I said to you last week, when you take a real punt on somebody and you stick him in there and it pays off, as in McKinnon, I think you deserve some kudos for that. So Zip and the Klingbergs, I think, have to go and win that award. So congratulations.
Good work, Zip. Well done. Just on that Eddie Royal, it's probably just me trying to prove that I can actually do a bit of fantasy work. I picked up Eddie Royal in two other leagues and played him and turned out big this week. So me and Danby thinking the same there. Knew he had an easy matchup. And anyway, it was a good move, anybody who played Eddie Royal this week.
Yes, I know that I looked at him and didn't fancy that he would be the guy picking up the points at all. So, a nice move, but I think for me the McKinnon one is just slightly further afield and a bit more of a stretch, and for him to come and do what he did against what is a very, very soft Atlanta D. They can make out all they want that they're tough and the rest of it, but there is some real, real soft defences in that NFC South.
That is true.
Supposedly a powerhouse league as well, so yeah.
Yeah, well,
look that one out.
It certainly looks like a different team's going to win it this year, at this stage anyway, the way it's shaping out each year that no team repeats in that league.
Yeah, someone's going to almost back into it and win it by default.
It's looking like a bit more like the NFC East, where 8-8 may get you in, 9-6.
Every chance. 9-7, sorry. I mean, they're talking about the Saints, you know, matchups after their bye week is horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
It is tough for that division, I think, because they've got to play the NFC West.
And the AFC North. West. North, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they've got Packers. Yeah,
trips into Baltimore and Cincy, so tough for that division. Moving on, the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award nominations for this week. Three nominations are Lenny and Footballers, Playing No Defence This Week. Obviously, judging off the performance of David's Chiefs, you know a defence can make quite a difference, but no defence slotted in for the Footballers. His Bengals were on a bye and losing a low-scoring matchup by 10 points. The defence could have made the difference there. Wyatt, just more one of those things you can't really predict necessarily, but his defensive change last week. He had the Eagles last week in week 3, swapped them out for the Bears. That was a turnaround of 27 points that could have gone in his favour. Wouldn't have actually just been enough to take home yourself. You would have still
taken a tough victory, one, but jury's out for that one.
Mainly because of the
Bears is an odd choice, given that the fact that they were going against Rodgers.
Yeah, going against Rodgers, and the week before although they had a good game against the Jets, they then picked up another couple of injuries.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit of a surprise decision by Wyatt, I suppose. But again, the Eagles' defense you probably didn't fancy so much going into San Francisco. So that was nomination number 2, Wyatt, and his defensive change. And third nomination, it's kind of a combination of things, but again, nominating myself.
Yeah, playing a right tackle.
This is it. One little thing. Ended up with a right tackle in my tight end position, with Toilolo being recruited to play right tackle when injuries hit the Falcons line. So that his 1.2 by the time he stopped actually getting a chance to receive the ball didn't help, and a combination of reasons, Narl Davis and again left on my bench over two other running backs in my lineup, Sproles and Vereen, so bit of a mistake there, and a combination of things.
Ultimately, I always come back to the fact that even if you put somebody in there and they pull back negative points, you put someone in there and give yourself a shot. So again, I'm going to have to go with Lenny on that one. Purely on the basis that, even if you put the world's worst team in there, they potentially might, get a pick in garbage time or run back a pick six or something that can be the difference. And whilst it doesn't always work out that way, I can at least buy into the logic of a little bit of the playing the Bears over the Eagles, and I can see where you come from not playing Niles Davis. And I think sometimes as well, when you on a Monday night, you don't want to, and there's that, will he play, will he not play, how many reps is he going to get, is he injured, those kind of decisions, is you don't want to leave them to the last thing on a Monday, especially when you're over here in the UK. Because you back yourself so much into a corner.
Yeah, exactly. So with that, Lenny takes home the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award for this week. Well done, Lenny.
It's time to look forward.
Yes, indeed. So week 5 of the National Football League and Move the Sticks League. The matchup I'm looking forward to this week is Wyatt against Willie and the Hurricanes. Willie undefeated 4-0, and Wyatt, after 2-game good winning start, he's lost 2 on the bounce, and just keen to see if he can bounce back and beat Willie.
Yes, come on, Wyatt, come on.
I think also with the projections, NFL.com is looking at a very high scoring matchup. You've got 125 plays 109 for what it's worth at this time with their lineup. Two high-scoring quarterbacks, well, in Matt Ryan, but Nick Foles and Shady McCoy the key for Wyatt, and can they bounce back and deliver what they really should to help Wyatt claw out a win for a change?
Yeah, I think, against the Rams, you know, as much as they've talked about that front, I don't think it's quite what everyone makes out to be, but the issue that the Eagles have at the moment is that offensive line is so banged up and there's so many holes in it. It's making it incredibly difficult for McCoy and Sproles to, make the conventional kind of, running back runs that Chip Kelly's going to have to get very, very creative in terms of moving up, those two around in terms of to get them into some kind of open space.
Yeah, and the other thing about the matchup is that's probably in Wyatt's favour is Willie's Matt Ryan throws well, but he's picking Roddy White out. He's essentially scoring points for Wyatt.
You need your quarterback to go off, and next minute it's like he's throwing three touchdowns to Roddy White, and you're just sat there going, "Hang on, I'm missing something here."
So that's my matchup. What are you looking forward to this week?
And I had Eskimo Brothers versus the Hawks repeat, with both looking to end losing streaks. I think the big thing for me that jumped out was the fact that they're both 1-3.
Yeah, and they both won their first game. So it's actually three losses in a row. Who can bounce back in this one?
Yeah, and I think if you can get to 2-3, which obviously one of these are going to be by the end of it, you kind of look in, I'm nearly at 500, but 1-4, you're still quite a way away.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm there at 0-4, so I think what I like about this matchup is the big scoring quarterback, Stafford versus Drew Brees this week.
Yeah, the Tampa Bay one looks a juicy matchup, I think, for New Orleans.
Yeah, I think a bit of an issue for the Hawks repeat is D'Angelo Williams having another injury again, and what's his fitness going to be like?
Yeah, and I expect Jennings to run all over the Falcons.
Yeah, exactly.
He's looked really good, and I must say, I've got written down here that we didn't quite touch on, but the Giants looked great on Thursday night.
Yeah, they did. Not so much the Redskins looking not quite like they should as well.
They flattened to deceive.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed to me that I've got written down here from my takeaways that the Giants just won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and it also looked to me like the Redskins' secondary was just leaving so much space out there for the Eli to pick his receivers as he chose.
Yeah, more time in the pocket, and so whether that was an issue with the Redskins more than the Giants kind of improving, but you give Eli time. Much like any quarterback, but Eli is a good quarterback. He has flashes, without a doubt, and he has some kind of meltdown moments. But on the whole, if you give him time, they have weapons. They've still got Odell Beckham to come back, which would be a great asset in terms of stretching the field. I think Cruz, when he's in the mood and he's got his head screwed on and he wants to play, is one of the better players. Working and operating out of the slot, I think. Denell has been a bonus to them. They were talking about the fact that he's only just recently kind of been playing the role.
Yeah, he's got a lot still to learn, and just athletically he looks good for the role, but still a lot to learn.
Yeah. And then you've got Reuben Randall, who, again, another one when his head seems in the right place, extremely talented. So
I know. And the only thing from that game that actually looks, if you just looked at the box score, you'd see an interception from Manning and Randall missing out on a touchdown, but I'm really confused as well by that officiating call there. He had the ball in his possession, both feet down in the end zone.
Yeah, he doesn't
and
have
then it gets hit out. Yes, it was a bit bang bang, but they kept saying he's got to make his football move, but I'm confused as to what a football move is in the end zone. You need to get your feet down. That's the move. He's done it. Should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, we one of the rules that we really, 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 really can't abide is the the catch and then a football move. It's just too ambiguous.
Yeah.
You know, a catch is a catch.
Yeah. Sometimes you see the football move is the guy knows he's going to get hit, he's not going to go anywhere, and he's actually just going to try and get down. That's what his football move might be in that instance. And sometimes he's looking to turn upfield, sometimes he's going the other way, and to just
the amount of times that we send him a text to each other going, yes, he's not made a football move, but it's clearly a catch.
Yeah, he's got both feet down. And, yeah. So yeah, the Giants looking half decent. So could it be a high scoring game against the Falcons? I'm sure it'll be a 10-13 after all this. So that's your pick for next week.
Yeah. Anything else you particularly want to cover before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. It's just, again, just fascinating how unpredictable the league's been. So it keeps it all exciting. And just a great thanks to everybody who's been listening. And we're getting a bit more interaction now on Twitter, so that's great. Obviously the podcast can be followed at @pipe_slippers, and anybody wishing to abuse my 0-4 record, you can find me at Stephen Rudkin.
And anyone wishing to praise me for my 2-game winning streak can follow me at Roger M. Kirby.
So looking forward to week 5, and good luck in your new job this week.
Thank you very much. I'm sure I will be taking over the world with them anytime soon. That is the master plan, anyway.
World domination
shall be mine.
1 week at a time. That's how it works in fantasy.
I'm going to ride that crest of that 2-game winning streak.
You do that. You do that, my friend.
there's no reply to that. I'm not even going to humour your ego anymore.
Do it. That's it. I think we're done here.
We certainly are. I've been sipping a tea.